Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read from 54 to 71, and then we'll turn to Acts chapter 26. So Luke 22, 54 to 71. And having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. And they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together. Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him and beating him. And they blindfolded him and were asking him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who hit you?" And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming. When it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and led him away to their council chamber, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." And they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "Yes, I am." Then they said, "What further need do we have of testimony, if we have heard it ourselves from our own mouth?" Then let's turn to Acts chapter 26. Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and proceeded to make his defense. "In regard to all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that I am about to make my defense before you today, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions among the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. So then, all Jews know my manner of life from my youth up, from which from the beginning was spent among my own nation and at Jerusalem. Since they have known about me for a long time, if they are willing to testify that I lived as a Pharisee according to the strictest sect of our religion. And now I'm standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, the promise to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly serve God night and day. And for this hope, O king, I am being accused by Jews. Why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them often in all synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. While so engaged, as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. For this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple and tried to put me to death. So having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was a sufferer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim him, both light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." While Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, "Paul, are you out of your mind? Your great learning is driving you mad." And Paul said, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I'm persuaded that none of these things escape his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. Agrippa replied to Paul, in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. The king stood up, and the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. And when they had gone aside, they began talking to one another, saying, this man is not doing anything worthy of death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Why don't we turn to our devotion on the app. It's April 17, 2019. It says, Peter is following Jesus at a distance. He is a follower of Jesus, but he doesn't want anyone to know. Do we find ourselves doing the same thing? Following, but at a distance? We don't want to stand out. We don't want anyone to know. Being too far from Jesus will get us into trouble. Paul writes, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. It is good to be near Jesus. Go tell the world you're a witness for the kingdom. Now we're going to see the video, day 43.
Today we're listening to Luke 22, and things take a dramatic change. And when I'm traveling around the world, as people listen to this section of Scripture, they will have been so excited about Christ and who he is and the healing. And as he's arrested and beaten, the people just become distraught. Many times we'll use the Jesus film to show the life of Christ in the mother tongue, and you'll have people react. In one of the pygmy villages, there was a very powerful pygmy hunter, and he was standing in the back in the dark watching Jesus' life. And what happens is as they watch, they actually become believers, they repent, and they become followers of Christ, and he did. And so as they dragged Jesus and began to beat him, he had enough, and so out of the darkness, they see this club come, and it just hits one of the Roman soldiers right in the middle of the head, and the whole sheet that was showing the film was on the ground, and he's on top of it with a knife. He's looking for that Roman soldier. He's going to finish him off. And so I have to explain to him that what was happening had happened, but it wasn't happening at this moment. They got him calmed down. They re-put up the film. And in great sorrow, they continue to watch as their Lord and Savior was beaten and later killed.
That's it? Okay. Okay, let's go to the prayer that's on the app today. Let's pray together. Father, we pray for those who translate the Bible to unreached people groups. Give Faith Comes By Hearing and similar organizations the resources to complete these translations by 2033. Amen. Amen. Okay, you know, not too many times when you have the Luke and Acts kind of running together, do they actually correlate to one another? But today, we're really blessed because the passage in Luke and also the passage in Acts actually follow through one seamless narrative, really. Luke, and we read the devotion here, talked about Peter denying Jesus and the need for us not to deny Jesus and be closer to him. We read that in the devotion, which leads us straight to Paul, and Paul basically does what Peter should have done. And Paul stands before with Festus, the governor, and then with King Agrippa, and he shares the word. And I think that the way Paul does it actually gives us a really, really coherent idea of how we should also share Christ with others. And you know, and actually, it's pretty amazing. Today, when I was coming to church, I was praying and I was meditating. And I actually, you guys know, I actually didn't read the passage before I got here. And so I read it in the 10 minutes before. So I didn't know that that was going to lead to this. But I already had a thought that we should start doing, and I think I'm going to call it Andrew Sundays. And I'm not naming it after my son, nothing like that. But the idea that Andrew was the one that introduced Jesus to a lot of different people. And so you know, I'm just kind of like meditating on this, and I'm praying. I feel like the Holy Spirit really speaking to me, and then, you know, it leads right into this. So I felt like when I was reading today that I received confirmation from the Lord. And so we see that Paul is now standing before an audience. And we'll also stand before audiences. There'll be a lot of different venues and a lot of different situations. It could be a dinner. It could be at a party. It could be at a work function. I mean, it could be anywhere. I love hearing testimonies from our church members who literally it'd be like the whatever I preach on that Sunday, and then they have a client dinner. And the person asks the question, which is really correlates to the message, and they tell me they just basically regurgitated the whole message that was given on Sunday. Or, you know, someone has a marriage issue that's happening, a relationship issue, and then they were in our premarital class, and, you know, exactly what I just shared on Saturday, they repeat on Tuesday. You know, and I love those kind of testimonies, but it's the heart of it is being mindful that you have a message to share. That whenever you're in an audience, whenever there's people, there's non-believers there. Pre-believers is probably more the political term, better term. When there are pre-believers there, that there's an important message you have. And really the power of the message is not so much of the Bible that you know, even though that'll be very helpful. It's your testimony. This is basically Paul. I'll just sum it up. Paul is saying, this is what I used to be like. Jesus encountered me. And this is what I'm like now. That's your basic testimony. This is what I was like before I met Jesus. And then I had this encounter with Jesus. Jesus came into my life. Something happened. I was on the road to Damascus. And the Lord encountered me. And it was amazing. And then my life has changed so much. So I want you to be just like me. Except, Paul will say, except with these chains. And it's such a powerful testimony, and it's a powerful way that he relays what he's saying. And so that's basically what it says. The first part is this is who I was, right? This was my life before, but I encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, and now this is my mission. I want you to go. Jesus gives them. I want you to go, and look what he says. He says here, and this is the key now. As you get into these encounters, as you are witnessing and sharing and doing these things, you know, it's really important that you pray, because you are dealing with nothing short of spiritual warfare. I mean, this is probably the greatest level of warfare that's taking place, because Paul, he lays it out, he says that this is a mission, verse 17, rescuing you from the Jewish people and to the Gentiles, whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes, they may turn from darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. It's perfect. He says this is spiritual warfare. They're moving from darkness to light. They're being transferred from the kingdom, the dominion of Satan to God. This is spiritual warfare. And so, you know, maybe you had an encounter and you didn't recognize what's going to happen. You know, this past weekend, you guys know I wasn't here. I was in Bali at a wedding. And obviously the couple were Christians, but all their friends were pre-believers. And, you know, for me, I love it, man. And so I think whenever, you know, they see me, it's if you ever come to SP wedding, you know, I look fairly normal, just like any guest. And then when I put the robe on, it's like it's really official, you know. And so and everyone's kind of like, oh, that guy's the pastor. He actually looks like a gangster, but he's actually the pastor. And so, you know, I come in, and then everyone's attitude changes. Before, it's not like they were unfriendly, but, you know, they were really friendly. And all of a sudden, they start clamming up, but like, oh, man, I better not say anything wrong. You know, I was actually playing pool, you know, in the lobby with a couple of the people. And afterwards, we got to know them, you know, a little bit more. And they were like, yeah, man, when we were playing pool, I was so intimidated. You know, I didn't know what to say. In fact, I remember cursing a little bit. And I was worried that something was going to happen to me because I cursed in front of a holy man. You know, it's non-believers, they have all these weird ideas. And then, you know, through the course, and, you know, invariably, they ask this question, how did you become a pastor? You know, like, what prompted you to become a pastor? You know, it's like the perfect opportunity to share my testimony and to share my life. And really, what Paul is trying to do is trying to convince them. You know, it's funny. I mean, don't take this bad, but I've been around people that share their testimony, and I don't know how to say this in such a nice way, but for a lot of times, the purpose of them sharing their testimony was to share about themselves. I've been there, you know, and I've heard people, because, you know, I listen in, and they're basically sharing their experience with God, but to no end. It's just about their experience with God. Paul shares to convince them to become like him. There's a totally different way to go about it. Some people just like to talk about themselves, and they just throw God into the mix, you know? And so, but that's not why Paul shares his testimony. He doesn't share just about this incredible spiritual experience that he had. He shares with them with the intent that he wants them to become a Christian. And so, notice Paul's strategy. And you'll get this too. Some people will say, man, you're crazy. I mean, if they're really honest, you're sharing about your life, and he says, oh man, you're out of your mind. That's exactly what Festus says. Man, he says, you're out of your mind. You're too smart for your own good. That's almost literally Festus's words. And then Paul says, listen, I'm seeking confidence. I'm not out of my mind. And then he turns because he knows that Agrippa believes in the prophets. So he appeals to what they can already believe as a common denominator. You know, I was, in fact, at this wedding on the flight back, I was having this conversation with a person, and we're talking about science and faith. And so, so we're talking about these things. I had to first appeal to some common denominators that we had together. Some things that, as a scientific person, as a person of faith, that we can agree on in these ways. And the way I did it was I just talked about science that was in the Bible. And so they could agree, oh yeah, this is scientific fact. This is actually in the scripture written thousands of years before scientists figured out, you know, these certain rules that took place. And so we can come to some common ground, and then we could build on that ground. And so, if you're curious, and so the midst of my talk was, actually the Bible doesn't contradict science. There's nothing wrong with this. The Bible contradicts the philosophy of science. And that's basically where we get to. And we had a really good conversation. I think they're going to come to Easter Sunday in a few days. So I'm kind of really excited about that. And so he appeals to them. And he says, you know, do you believe in the prophets? He says, I know that you do. He understood the common ground. And then look at the way Agrippa responds. And he says, in a short time, you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul says, that's right. Paul says, that's my whole life. That's my purpose. That's why I'm here on this planet. My friend Che, who's going to be here in a few weeks speaking on Sunday, I remember he said this a long time ago. And he said, you know, we'll have the rest of our lives. I mean, we'll have eternity to worship God. I mean, we'll do that. When we get to heaven, for eternity, we'll worship the Lord. For eternity, we're going to grow in knowledge. I mean, like just wisdom and knowledge, and we're going to grow more and more in understanding. We're going to fellowship for eternity. I mean, brothers and sisters together for eternity. And eternity says, but we only have one lifetime to win the lost. We have one shot, our lifetime, and that's it. Everything else that we do, and those are good things, you know, to worship and to fellowship and to grow in knowledge and you know, this discipleship, that's all these things that we do. They're really important because it should free us, and it should move us, basically, that we can come to this point where we share Christ with others. And that's what Paul says, and he says, actually, I wish to God that either in a short or long time, not only you, but all who are here to be just as I am, except for these chains. That was Paul's life purpose, to share Christ. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God gives us opportunities all the time. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities. Be prepared to share, to always share the hope that is within you. Amen? Let's close our eyes. I guess we're missing our worship leader today. Oh, Nelly. Oh, come on, Nelly. And as Nelly prepares, let's go before the Lord and let's ask Holy Spirit to really, really draw near. Let's ask Holy Spirit to bring such a sense of urgency to us to share Christ. That's why we're on this planet. Do you think you're at your job just for your job? Do you think that maybe God would have an eternal purpose of why you're there? That there's a group of people that only you have access to, that pastors and other people don't? Be a witness. Share Jesus everywhere you go. Preach the word in season, out of season. Be always prepared to share the hope that is within you. And as Nelly leads us in a song, I just want to encourage you to just go before the Lord and just talk to Him about people that you're that you want to witness to, people that need to hear the message, and share that message with them. Thanks, Nelly. Let's pray, huh? Let's go before the Lord. If there are people that you're witnessing to now, well, let's lift them up before the Lord. Let's pray for them. Maybe you need to ask God for more boldness to be able to share, that you take advantage of the opportunities that God does give you. Well, we can pray in that respect as well. Let's go before Jesus. Go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer, going through therapy, and let's pray for God's healing word. And let's really minister through our prayers and bring them to Jesus. Pray for our friends and family that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for the word of healing, and let's pray for the testimony of Jesus to be proclaimed. They may come to know Him. Let's pray for those that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's open doors and His provision. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to breathe His life and His spirit over this nation. Let's pray for our friends there, SP Beijing, SP Shanghai. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and Pastor Ricky. Ask God to continue to protect them and really use them powerfully. Let's pray for the Chung family, Matt and his parents, and for churches all throughout, especially in the midst of increasing persecution. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask God to use these men and women to lead our church that would move with a deep humility and operating out of the wisdom of God. Let's just lift up a real sense of unity. Pray over our fellowship ministries, our young adults. Let's pray for a single life workshop that's coming up in May. Let's lift up the men's ministry with the Monday prayer and pure desire, and the women's ministry that just finished their discipleship classes. Let's pray that there's good follow-up. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building and resources. Let's pray the Vision Fund continue to grow, and God would just release benefactors to us that would help us in this endeavor. Let's pray for the last few weeks of Alpha. Pray for our guests' salvation as God continues to work in their life. Pray for logistics. Pray for protection for volunteers, and also for many who just decided to receive Christ. Let's ask God to allow them to really grow in His grace and knowledge. And let's lift up. And lastly, let's lift up our week, Passion Week this week. Let's pray for RT. He's in the air right now, arriving this afternoon. Pray for a good flight, rested, because he's literally going to come straight to service afterwards. And so let's pray for his strength. Pray for his service tonight, Holy Wednesday service. Pray for our Good Friday service and our Easter Sunday services. And particularly on the Easter Sunday, that many would come to Jesus. Let's lift up. Pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us influence, Lord, giving us our jobs, our families, Lord, and so many opportunities, God, to share about your love, to share our testimonies, our stories, God, of how you changed us and how you loved us and saved us, God. And Lord, I pray for more opportunities that you give to us to share, Lord, about what you've done, not how we've become, but what you've done in our lives, God. And I pray for that word of salvation to go forth, God. And many, Lord, will come to know you, God. And so we thank you, Lord. Help us to be more bold than we are, God. We love you, Lord. Just watch over us today, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.